clap of praise as you're seated. Hallelujah. We're going to just dive right actually into the Word of God. If you can turn with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We have a little bit of a lengthy scripture, but we're going to read right on through this. 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says this. Now there was a certain man of Ramath-am-Zophim of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Toha, the son of Zuaf, and Ephraim. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord shut up her womb. And with the help of God today, I want to speak on the subject, when a worthy portion is not enough. When a worthy portion is not enough. I'm going to ask my husband to pray.
Spirit of the living God, we're so thankful that we are in your presence. And Lord, again, you want to breathe upon us. So we're asking, oh God, that our hearts and our minds will be open to what the word of the Lord desires to speak. There are so many of us, oh God, here today, with so many things, oh God, going on in our lives. But I believe there's desperate hearts, oh God, that want you and want your word. And I believe they're going to receive it with the power of the spoken word of God. Let revelation hit our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Things in our life can never replace our purpose. No matter what it is or what type of value it has, things can never replace our purpose. Why? Because our purpose is given to us from God, and it is birthed out of prayer. The definition of purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. And each and every one of us in the house of God today, we have a purpose, a God-given purpose. Somebody shout out, I have a purpose. Hannah, the woman in the Bible that we just read about, she was barren. And the definition of barren is not producing or incapable of producing. In the biblical times of Hannah, to be able to give your husband a child gave a woman a sense of purpose, especially a male child. Barrenness in ancient times was the ultimate tragedy for a married woman. Why? Because her husband's hopes and dreams depended on her providing him with a son to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. It was a shame to not be able to bear sons. Barrenness was considered a curse and a punishment. But yet here Hannah was, she was barren. Yet she had a clear goal in mind. Her purpose was to produce a son. And many of us in the house of God today, we have a purpose. We have a clear goal in our lives and in our mind. And we want to see this thing come to pass. But for whatever reason, we are barren in that area. And we're not producing the way that we thought we would be producing in that area. Many of us in the house of God, we have a book inside of us. Many of us in the house of God, we have a business on the inside of us. Many of us in the house of God, we have a ministry on the inside of us. Hallelujah. But we are barren. hearing in this area and we feel like something's wrong. But let me tell you today, it's not necessarily that something wrong. Praise God. In fact, we might be doing every single thing in our life right. Praise God. But one thing we've got to remember is God's timing is not our timing. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts, this is the Lord speaking, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as high as the heavens are over the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me tell somebody today, I would do things so many different ways than God does it. But because God sees the big picture, he's like, listen to me, honey, you've got to hold your horse. You only see what's right in front of you, but I see the big picture. My ways are higher than your ways. You got your natural, human, fleshly, small thinking, but I have my big God thinking, so I need you to just hold the horses for a little bit because I am God and I know what I'm doing. Hannah was doing everything right. She was going to the house of the Lord year by year. Yet in all of her efforts and all of her attempts, she faced constant failure in the area that she needed an increase. Hallelujah. How many times have we found ourselves in a place where we're doing everything right? We're crossing our T's. We're dotting our I's, but yet to no avail. God, I'm showing up in the house of God. I'm paying my tithes. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible, but I still don't see a win in the midst of my struggle. This was Hannah. And what I find interesting about her name, Hannah, it comes from the Hebrew name Chana, and it means grace. Somebody say grace. Now, the definition of grace is unmerited favor. So her name means favor, but she's not seeing favor in the area of her purpose. What do you do when your life is not measuring up to the name that God has given you? Hallelujah. Have you ever been called into a position, but your life is not measuring up to who you're called to be? Hallelujah. What do you do when the favor is not evident on your life, when your favor is not producing in the place of your purpose? Have you ever experienced the feeling that I'm living my life day by day and the people in my work and the people in my job, they see me as one way, but on the inside, I know that there's some greatness on the inside of me. On the inside, there's a mighty warrior saying, all I need is for someone to say, ready, set, go, and I'm going to go full speed. But I just got to have the opportunity to do so. God said, I am favored, but God, my marriage is still failing. God said, I am favored, but God, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around these new circumstances that my life has dealt me. God said that I am favored, but God, why are my children still not living for you? God, you said I'm favored, but why am I still broke? I don't even know how I'm going to get dinner on the table. God, you said that I am favored, but my health is still going downhill. You said that I'm favored, but why is the enemy still speaking into my mind, telling me who I'm not, telling me who I will never, ever be? Why is the enemy reminding me of my past and my failures? And now it's going through my mind, my name means favor, but you're not showing up in my purpose, God. Let us examine our scripture right now. Verse number 2. Of our text says this, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Can you imagine? Here you are, you're married, yet living with another woman, sharing the role that was meant to solely belong to you. In the biblical context, when you see Hannah's name written first, that means she was the first wife. So she did everything she could do, not producing. But now Elkanah, he brought another woman into the home. Not just any home, into your home, doing what you are unable to do. I can't even imagine what she must have felt when Penina came into the house for the first time. Was she in the corner? Was she peeking around the door, watching to see what she looked like, to see what she would do? How devastating it must have been when Penina got pregnant the first time, and when she had her first baby, and here Hannah, the first wife, is. She's watching Penina, and how devastating it must have been to see her watch and have another kid and another kid. How many of you have been in the position when you're required to produce something, but for whatever reason, you were unable to produce it? It's not because you weren't trying, because you've been trying, but you've gotten no results. And here comes this new person into your job, and here comes this new person into your life, and all of a sudden, they're doing your job like a boss, and all of a sudden, they're producing things that you've been trying to produce, but you've never been able to do it, and everybody is seeing it. And so now everybody has a picture of what a producer looks like, a successful person, and then what you look like. And they're watching you. And now the spotlight is on you. How do you handle that? When I think of Hannah, I try to put myself in her shoes, and I would imagine that she felt a little helpless and a little unsure of herself, and began to think that her value was starting to diminish a little bit, and maybe my purpose, maybe that really wasn't my purpose that I'm trying to do, because God gave it to someone else. Hallelujah. And Elkanah, he's the one who brought Penina into the picture. And his intentions was not to make Hannah feel insecure, but she was still feeling that way. So here you are trying to produce. Somebody else comes into the picture. It's not to make you feel insecure, but guess what? We're human. Sometimes we still feel that way. Amen? But her womb was shut up, and she was unable to produce, and she was seemingly replaced by another. Now, in the natural, infertility or barrenness could be caused by a few different ways. I'm going to name those ways for you. Number one is a hormonal imbalance. Somebody say imbalance. The next way is a tumor or a cyst. Somebody say tumor or cyst. The next way is alcohol or drug usage. The next way is excess weight, and all of these things have a hand in infertility. So now let's go ahead and break this thing down and look at it from the spiritual realm. Number one, I said there could be an imbalance. Are we properly balancing the natural and the spiritual in a way that is conducive to how we're supposed to live for God? Hallelujah. Or are we only living by the disappointments and the failures that we have in our lives? We have got to make sure that we are continuously seeking after the voice of God. I don't care what my circumstance looks like. God, I'm looking for you in my dark place. I'm looking for you in the midst of my struggle. I am searching for you. A tumor or a cyst. A tumor is an abnormal growth of cells that serves, listen to me this, no purpose in the body. A tumor is a group of cells that serves no purpose in the body. What is taking up space in your life that is not supposed to be there? What has grown and established a place in your life without your permission? Is it toxic people? Is it toxic habits, unfruitful activities or addictions, alcohol or drug use? What have you been consuming that is taking up space in your spirit? And maybe it might not be those cliche things. What about bitterness? What about self-doubt? What about constant negativity? What about pride, entitlement, or being controlling? What is intoxicating you and taking up room in your being that shouldn't be there? The next thing I have on here is excess weight. What baggage have you been carrying around from your past that has caused you to be sluggish or complacent in your spirit? Who has hurt you? Who has used you? Who has abused you? Who has defiled you? Who has broken your trust? Who has done something to you in your life that you feel like it can't let it go? I think that I've forgiven them, and then I hear that song again. I think that I've forgiven them, and then I smell that cologne again. What are you holding on to? What are you carrying? Shame, guilt, toxic relationships. We've got to let that go. Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? for the things that you have done to others that you are still carrying around. So many times we're quick to forgive others, but can we forgive ourselves? Can we forgive the things that we've done to other people, the hurt and the pain that we've caused other people? We've got to learn how to forgive ourselves, because the Bible verse still applies. If you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive, and that includes yourself. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 in the ESV says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Someone say every weight. And every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now watch this. The word cast means to cast away, or to put off or aside or away. That means I am getting this thing that I need to cast out. I can't find something that I can throw, but I'm going to find something. You get this thing, you get this weight that you have, and you're not just going to get the weight and you're going to say, oh God, forgive me. You're getting this thing and you are going to cast this thing. Everything that's in your life that is holding you back, everything that is making your mindset feel like you're not a winner, like you don't have a purpose, you got to grab that thing with your hands, with all power and all authority in the name of Jesus, and begin to cast that thing. You have got to go. Hallelujah. You've taken up too much space in my life. You know what I think we should do? Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand up. We're going to take a minute. We're about to cast something right now before we move on. I want you to think of the weight. I want you to think of the thing that has a hold of you, and I want you to grab it in your hand right now. Come on, grab it in your hand. Grab it in your hand. Grab it in your hand. Somebody shout, in the name of Jesus, you have got to go. Now throw it and worship God. Hallelujah. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. You may be seated. That thing is gone. And the Bible says that death and life and the power in your tongue. And so we need to quit critiquing ourselves and criticizing ourselves and talking down about the thing that has weighed us down, and begin to declare who you are in God. Don't you know who you are? You are the child of not just any king. You're the child of the King of Kings, the God of glory, the great everlasting Father, the one who is and was and is to come. Every single day when I pray, I begin to declare some things about myself. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, just this week, I was in Idaho. And the enemy tried to get into my mind again. And, you know, who are you to be preaching these women conferences? Who are you to be traveling? And I was like, no, devil. Not today, player, not today. I looked inside that mirror and I began to decree and declare. I didn't say about me, but I looked in the mirror. I seen a reflection of myself. And I said, you are called. You are chosen. You are anointed. You are forgiven. You are enough. The blood of Jesus is on your life. I wish I had about two or three people that would begin to point to yourself and say, I am enough. I am called. I am chosen. I belong to God. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. Verses number 4 and 5 say this. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. Somebody say portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. That word worthy means double portion, okay? For he loved Hannah, but the Lord shut up her womb. Now let's make this contextually accurate for this setting of scripture. It wasn't those things that I just discussed that caused Hannah to be barren. The scripture says that the Lord caused her womb to be shut up. And sometimes you've got to evaluate the reason for your distress. It might just be the hand of God trying to work something out in your life. You never know what's inside of you until you get into a situation that brings it out of you. You never know when you'll go off on somebody. You never know what you'll do in the car when somebody cuts you off. You never know what you will do You might never know that you have an attitude or some hostility towards somebody until they do something that begins to stir up those feelings on the inside of you. God is trying to bring some things out of us. Why? Because he's in the perfecting process. The Bible says in Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. Someone say, God knows the way I'm going. It says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now that word tried me means when he examines me, when he proves me, or when he scrutinizes me. And sometimes God will allow you to go through some hell on earth. Why? Because he is just looking to refine you. You're going through some things and they're scrutinizing you. They're talking about you. But I need somebody to understand, God is trying to refine you. He's trying to make you better. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at because he loves you. Come on, bring all the haters. Come on, bring all the trouble. Bring all the problems. My God is just trying to refine me. Hallelujah. You know, so many times when we get scrutinized, we immediately give credit to the devil. Oh, that old devil. He all up in my finances. Oh, that old devil. You know, he made that car cut me off today. Stop giving so much credit to the devil. The devil is a dummy, like my husband said. The devil is a nobody. Listen to me. The people of God that have the Holy Ghost, you have more power in your little finger than the devil has on this entire planet. Somebody better rise up and know who you are. Stop giving the devil credit. Devil, you don't have credit over this. God is trying to refine me. Now, there's a difference between raw gold and pure gold. Raw gold is any gold alloy or a gold that's in its natural state. That alloy means that other minerals or metals are mixed into the gold because it's in its natural state. But rather than having a high gold content, the alloy, its raw gold at its highest value could only be up to 18 carats. And that by itself is good. I don't know about y'all, if I found a little nugget while I was walking about, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, look what I found, baby. Found me a gold nugget. Hallelujah. But God is looking for a people that he can make 24 karat gold out of. Hallelujah. Why settle for 18 when you can be 24 karat gold? That's what he is looking for. But guess what? It takes a process. Let me walk through this thing real quick. When you study the process of gold, it is extensive and it is tedious the way that you make purified gold. The first step that you take is you take the raw gold and you've got to melt it down. How does this apply spiritually? You got this thing of value, okay? We love God. We're the church. You got this thing of value, but he said, I got to melt you down first. I gotta take away any shape of anything that resembles who you think that you could be. And if you think you did that all by yourself, your natural state, because I got to mold you down and shape you and get you down to where nobody could even recognize you. He's melting you down. And then the next step is you're stripped of everything that is not like God. You're melted down. And then on top of being melted down, they have to add acid, two different types of acid to the liquid gold and the metals and the other substances. So you're melted down, but now the acid will help you spot the hard things in your life. So here's the thing. When the metals go into there, they remain hard, okay? You're melting down the gold, but then you have the metals that are inside of there. The acids begin to separate the hard things from our life. You might wonder, man, why am I going through this situation and I keep getting burned? Why am I going through this situation that doesn't feel comfortable? Because God is separating the hard things from the spiritual things. He is refining you. He's just got to get some hard attitudes out of our lives. He's got to get some hard actions out of our lives. He's got to get some hard words out of our lives. He's got to get some worldliness, things that are hard. He's trying to take those things out of our lives. And it burns, but guess what? It gets the job done. It seems unfair, but guess what? It gets the job done. It may hurt a little bit, but he is revealing the things that need to come out of us. And then what does he do after that? Yeah, you think I've been through enough, right? The gold, yeah, I think it's good now. Go ahead and let that bad boy heart up. No. And the next thing that happened again, now he sends it to the furnace, and the impurities separate into a layer on top of the surface of molten pure gold. And once those things are removed, you have pure gold. You are going into the fire again, and you're wondering, God, I've been through the fire. I've been through the acid. But now what's happening? What God is doing, he's putting you in the fire. So now you don't even have to do the work. The impure things, they're just going to rise by themselves. They're just going to come to the top by themselves. You're going to say, that was in me. That is in me. I'm telling you today, God is trying to refine some people. And if we can grab a hold of the word of God and we can look at our life from the refining process, we are going to say, devil, I don't care what comes up against me. God is just trying to refine me. I don't care what they said about me at my job. God is just trying to refine me. I don't care if you're sitting there judging me. God! It's just trying to refine me. With God, I can walk through this fire and I'm just coming out better. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm about to be better. One more time, I'm about to be better. Verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and she did not eat. She already feels ashamed. She already is upset that she can't produce. She's already ashamed that she can't do what she's created to do. On top of my guilt, on top of my emotions, now I am having verbal abuse from my enemy. My adversary is coming at me. When I wake up, my adversary is there. When I go to sleep, Penina, my adversary is behind me. When I go to church to try to offer up sacrifices, my adversary is there reminding me of what I can't do. I can't get away from the voices in my head telling me I'm not good enough. Everywhere I go, my adversary is trying to remind me of who I am not and who I'll never be. Penina taunted, and she provoked Hannah constantly. Some of us might feel this very same way. We feel that the enemy is constantly telling us who we are not and who we will never be. We feel like everywhere we go, there's a constant reminder of something from my past. And why can't I let this thing go? I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to go to church, but my past is hanging over my head. You know, the enemy makes a point to bring out the worst in us, the worst situations we've been through, the worst in us. He wants to showcase our worst mistakes so that we will measure who we are by the mistakes that we have made. We cannot measure who we are by our past. We measure who we are by the blood. We measure who we are by the blood of Jesus that was shed for our life. When God sees you, he only sees the blood. Here's the thing. The devil reminds us of our past. But the word of God says that the Lord says, for my own sake, I have forgotten about your sins. And so here we are. We're the only ones, and the devil's remembering. But when God looks at you, he only sees the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you, but for me, a fresh start looks red. A fresh start looks like the blood. And that's what all of us have in here today, a fresh start because of the blood. But what would cause somebody that is so successful to taunt someone who is not producing? What would cause that? The thing is, Penina saw something in Hannah that Hannah could not see in herself. She saw the favor of God resting upon us. So many of us are here today and we struggle and we stress and we only can see what we're not producing, but the enemy is watching you like a hawk because he knows that what you're packing, and he knows if I can only cover it up, if I can cover it up just enough so that they don't know who they are, they will stay in a complacent state of mind. But he also knows if they undercover and they can really see who they are, they will not be stressed and depressed. They wouldn't just be sitting on that pew. They wouldn't just be going to their job acting like everybody else. They will begin to decree and declare who they are. My kingdom will have to come down because they will rise up in the things of God. Hallelujah. I wish I had a few Holy Ghost believers in the house of God that will begin to decree and declare, I know who I am. Shout it out. I know who I am. I know who I am. When a thief is searching for a house to break into, he ain't going to the ghetto. He's not going to a poorhouse. He's going to a place where the goods are. Somebody shout out, I got the goods. I got the goods. I'm here to tell you, you got the goods. You might only be able to see the trial in front of you, but the devil sees the goods. Somebody ought to look past your current situation and continue to remind yourself that I got the goods. It might be hard right now. It might be a struggle right now. It might look like a dead end right now, but I got the goods. Let the taunting of your enemy drive you to your knees. Let the taunting of your enemy push you into your purpose. Let the taunting of your enemy cause you to keep pushing for all that God has for you. Let the taunting of your enemy cause you to look up. Psalms 121 says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Sometimes we just got to look up. Sometimes we got to just stop looking in front of us and look up to God. In other words, dust yourself off, gain your composure, and lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Hallelujah. The average person, when they read about Hannah, they feel sorry for her because she can't produce. And they feel sorry for her because the Lord closed her womb and she's in a hard place. And they feel sorry for her because they know she's doing everything right and everything that she can. And they feel sorry for her because she continues to fail. And on top of all that, we read the Bible. And as you study the Bible, you start to research Peninnah. And the name of Peninnah, her name means jewel. In other words, in our day and age, I guess y'all would call her a hottie. You would call her beautiful. That means she is rare. So there she is with this other woman. She's not only doing what Hannah can't do, but she is fine. Hallelujah. She looks good. You better not try to bring that. No, I'm kidding. He know better. No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. So she's looking at this woman. She's taunting her, and this woman is gorgeous. She is beautiful. So this puts Hannah in a place of anguish. It's causing her to not want to eat, and she's weeping bitterly. She's hurting. She's in pain. And now she's comparing herself amongst her Peninnah. Verse number 8 says this. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So here's the thing, okay? I'm going to keep it real quick. Elkanah, he had good intentions. But his intentions did not make things better. It only made her long for a son more. Have you ever had somebody that was trying to make you feel better, but it just got worse? Like, for example, honey, does this dress make me look fat? No, babe, it just makes you look a little rounder. Please be quiet and just move on, right? Don't try to help me if you're not going to help me. They got good intentions, but they're only making it worse. This is what was happening to Hannah. Praise God. Do I look round in this? No. Hallelujah. So Elkanah knows that he's going to give Hannah a double portion. And this is how he knows to show her love and to show her that she is favored. But what he does not understand is that money can never, ever buy my purpose. A man's love can never fulfill my purpose. I don't want a worthy portion. I don't want a double portion. I need my miracle from God. I don't want to feel worthless. I need God to move on my behalf. So I appreciate what you're trying to do, but quite frankly, you're not helping me. And some of ourselves have been in this very position. You're married, but your ministry is still at a standstill. You're pushing and you want it, or you're going to church and you're giving your all, but your kids are still vaccinated and you're praying and your marriage seems to be getting worse, or you're showing up to church but the devil has convinced you that you'll never be nobody because of your past. These words that roll around in our mind, and then we become desperate for God. But so many people in times past have gotten to this point of desperation. You know what? I've tried everything. I've done everything the pastor has told me to do. Pastor, I'm praying in my home. Pastor, we're opening up communication. Pastor, I'm coming to church. Pastor, I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing these things, Pastor. But nothing is changing. I look around me and my adversary is still there. I look around me and I'm still not producing. I'm trying. I'm pushing. But my purpose is not coming. And so many people in times past have gotten to this point of desperation, a point of brokenness and despair, and barely holding on by a thread, trusting God. And instead of allowing the desperation to drive them into a deeper place of intercession, they struggle and they quit before they see their purpose. They quit before they see their promise. They abort their purpose and never give it a chance to live. Church, we have got to understand this. God is good. And if he has allowed it, it is a part of your refining process. Know that pain is a part of the process. He's trying to perfect you. All you've got to do is trust him. Don't quit before you reach your promise. Don't do it. Hannah did not quit in the midst of her struggle. Was it hard? Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was hard. You know, so many times we think we get saved and everything goes good and we're like the WB bunny. Hello, my baby. Hello. It's not like that. We go through life. Life happens. Somebody say life happens. Life happens. But it's our job to know how to stay faithful and stay consistent until we get to the place where God is trying to take us. Hannah had a little bit more to offer, even in her anguish. The Bible says in verse number 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. She was broken, y'all. She was broken. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse 11 says this. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all of the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. Now let me just explain this. When you come to a crossroad in your life, you can either choose to give up, or you can choose to pursue. But I want you to always choose to pursue. Always choose intercession. Always choose seeking after God. I don't care how strong the enemy is coming at your mind. Always choose to pursue. When it comes to your miracle, choose to cry out to God. When it comes to that need that you're so desperately needing in your time of struggle, always choose God. Maybe only going up to the temple is not going to cut it this time. Maybe just coming to church and worshiping and feeling the Holy Ghost goose pimples is not good enough at this time. It might be that the Lord is requiring more out of your life. He is requiring something that's more than just a church building. Yeah, you got to come here, but he's requiring you to go deeper. Hannah had to get to a place, hear me, church, where she prayed. She did more than just showing up to church year by year. That was required. But she prayed and she vowed a vow to sacrifice her child's life in totality to God. Let me tell you something today. God wants your whole heart. He wants every single part of your heart. He wants all of your hurt. He wants all of your pain. He wants everything inside of you that's trying to sever your relationship with him. Hallelujah. He wants you to worship when things are good. He wants you to worship when things are bad. Hallelujah. So many times we say, I'm giving my life to God. I'm giving everything to God. But you know what, God? I'm going to just keep this little piece right here because I've been hurt in this area and I've been wounded in this area. And if I allow you to have it, you might start questioning me. Or if I expose it, you might start questioning me. And I don't want to feel that pain again. But God is requiring all today. What is it that you have that's lingering on the inside of you? What's keeping you down? What's keeping you from your purpose? God wants that too. Verse number 12. And it came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. Somebody say he marked her mouth. That means he's watching her. Verse 13 says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered, and he said, no, my Lord. And she said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured my soul out before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hereto. She said, I have poured my soul out before the Lord. That is exactly what Hannah needed to do. Instead of keeping bitterness of soul and anguish in her heart, she poured her soul before the Lord. Don't hold it in, but pour it out before the God. We're so accustomed, and this is perfectly okay to say, God, fill me up until I overflow. We're so good with that. Fill me up, God. Give me all the good things, and that's something we should do. But there are times in our life where we gotta just pour out. God, take this bitterness. Take this pain. Take this hatred. Take this hurt. I'm pouring myself out to you, God. Empty me out, God. Empty me out. Empty me out. Empty me out, God, for the voices in my head. Empty me out, God, of any preconceived notions of how I think my life should be going right now. Empty me out, God, so that you can fill me up the way that I need to be filled up today. When was the last time you got so lost in the spirit that somebody looked at you and said, are they drunk? They are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is the power of the Holy Ghost. When was the last time that you were just so desperate for God? You didn't care what it looked like. All you knew is you just had to get in to the presence of God. God is searching for a people to worship him. As you walk throughout the Bible, everything is because he's searching for a people to worship him. When we study the scripture, we see that the Jewish people, they continue to reject God. And so where are we here right now? The Bible says that God has grafted us in at this point because he's searching for a people who would worship him. We cannot miss our opportunity. God is searching for people like Hannah who can care less who's watching. I don't even care. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what it looks like. I simply need to touch God. God is searching for a people that long and they're desperate, not for their need to be met, not for their purpose to come to pass, but to say, God, I just want you. Can we stand all over this building? I want to live a lifestyle of worship with my words, God, with my thoughts and my actions. Let's lift up our hands right now as the Lord begins to minister. Hallelujah. Somebody begin to worship God. Your miracle is birthed out of your relationship with the King. And we're so good at being desperate for our needs. But we've got to be desperate for God. And we pray to God out of our desperation. And we say, God, I'm desperate because of my needs. But God wants you to move into a place where you're not just desperate for him because of your needs, but you're desperate with him for him because of him. Come on, let's begin to open up our voices. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I'm desperate for you, God. Lord Jesus, at this moment right now, God, I'm not seeking you, God, even for my purpose. I'm not seeking you, God, for any needs in my life. I'm seeking you for you, God. And as I know, God, as I seek you for you, these things will happen. But right now, God, you just got to know that I just want you. I just want you. I just want you, God. I just want you, God. Hannah got her son. And those of you that are here, yeah, your purpose is going to come to pass. But Hannah did something after her purpose. She began to tell the enemy, you cannot taunt me no more. You cannot come at me anymore. But it's going to be through your worship that you have the boldness to speak to your enemy. I want us to come up here as a church family, and I want us to build an altar in prayer today. Those of you that have things that you need God to do in your life, businesses, ministries, lost family members, things in your mind, your health and your body.